This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a human being or place within the human being certain likes and dislikes, or the individual begins to develop a liking towards certain things, whether it be food, drink, clothing, the environment around them. That is the nature of the human being, to like certain things and to dislike certain things. And even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he liked certain things and he disliked certain things. At times maybe certain foods were presented in front of him and he refused to eat from them, or he commented that this is not the food of our people or something that we take a liking towards. This does not mean that food becomes haram or something prohibited. It just shows that this is something that was disliked or something that did not interest the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus you find that if you study the role of the sunnah, istilahat inda al-fuqaha, the terminology in front of the fuqaha will be one meaning of the word sunnah. Those who study tafsir will be another meaning. Those who are just collecting hadith will be another meaning. Each one of them has their own interpretation, bima'na, they all are looking for certain specific. So when the fuqaha, they come to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, they're only looking at how to divide it. That which is fard, that which is obligatory, that which is prohibited, that which is mandub, that which is mustahab. So that's how they're approaching the sunnah. Likewise, you find that those ulama of hadith who are trying to just collect the sunnah, their role is just to collect the ahadith. Those which happen to be the statements, those which happen to be the actions, etc. So the sunnah has various meanings in front of different individuals. Like as we all know, as basic Muslims, ahmiyat to sunnah, the importance of reviving and living by the sunnah. But at the same time, we should be vigilant at times that there are certain sunnah or certain actions which are recommended or just happen to be, as some people mention, cultural practices at that time. And so some people begin to try to create those cultural practices at that climate, at that environment, is something which is obligatory. Any mathalan, for example, that in terms of dress sense that we find, there are certain yani shurut, certain conditions in general, the sharia lays out how a person yani should dress. Yani kun fadfadan, should be wide, baggy, loose, over one's ankles, not resemble women, or specific dress sense, lil kuffar, or certain of their religious clerics, whatever it may be. So al-amr wasi', the affair is vast, is very open. So for someone to then codify that and say that a person should on all occasions, for example, you need lips of thawb, to wear a thawb, is obligatory. Obviously inside salah, many fuqah have mentioned that the best garment to wear is to wear a long garment when you come to the prayer, and to cover yourself, your attire, your aura appropriately. But for practical reasons, person, for example, never wore the thawb. is that person now sinful? Obviously religious clerics, for them it becomes the dress sense, a symbol that they always wear. But we're just trying to highlight the interpretation of the sunnah at times, that sometimes people begin to have a slightly incorrect benchmark. They begin to think that these actions of the sunnah are actions which are obligatory, or people need to be doing those actions, if not they are possibly belittling the sunnah, or they are drifting away from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But obviously al-awla, there's no doubt a person should be wearing the Islamic dress, a zayul islami, that which is Islamic dress in the sense that is recognized as something which is an Islamic practice. As for now to codify what is an Islamic dress, it differs from one country to another country. You can't say this dress is the dress sense of the people in Indonesia, or the people in Pakistan, or people in a different country. It varies. So long as a person holds fast the general principle of Sharia and adorns themselves with that, that is what is required of the Sharia. So we're trying to highlight that a certain sunnah that we find that the Prophet Muhammad has done in his life, which are classified as just a practice of the people at that moment. And so if he stayed away from something, it doesn't mean it becomes prohibited. If he encouraged something, it doesn't mean it becomes an obligation. The person needs to go back and find out in great detail if this is something to do in forms of al-amr wa nahi, a prohibition or an obligation according to Sharia sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason why we mention this is because for some of us we find that our likes and our dislikes have just become following our own nafs, our own desires, or the environment around us. It's become imbalanced. That we only begin to like or do those things that the people like or the people dislike. That's the problem or the issue that we want to discuss bi-ithnillahi ta'ala tonight. About those things, that where should we find the balance about what we like and what we dislike. And obviously here we're talking about core elements. As for those other elements, as we touched upon, there's no harm in liking or disliking something which has got nothing to do with the Sharia preference of certain food or however you want to eat or whatever it may be. Wallahu a'lam, there's no harm in that. So we need to go back and tune ourselves with those things which are to do with the Sharia. Because some people unfortunately are beginning to find an imbalance about what they should like and what they should dislike. And what is the criteria to return back to? Because how do we judge something that we should like and something we should dislike? Something we should do and something we should stay away from. And obviously the criteria is quite crystal clear. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created, and He is the most subtle, the most aware? That is the criteria that the Muslim follows their life upon. The criteria of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, told us He likes this, He wants us to do this, He wants us to stay away from this. This is prohibited upon you, حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is haram upon you, اجتنبوا, stay away from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do this, wants you to do that. That's the criteria that we as basic Muslims need to follow in our life. To do those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes us to do, and to stay away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us you need to stay away from. For example, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And perhaps it may be that you may dislike something and it is something which is good for you. And perhaps you like something, وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ, and it is something evil or bad for you. And then comes the response, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. So man's knowledge is limited. So we as a normal human being, we could see this is something good, but it could be something bad for us. We could see something which is bad for us, and it is something good for us. And the context of these ayat, or this ayah, if we go back and we look at the beginning of the ayah, the answer is given. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Fighting has been prescribed for you, but it is something by the nature of the human being, disliked by the human being. So the Qur'an isn't saying that fighting and warfare is something which is good, or a person has to do it, etc. It's acknowledging that the human nature of certain actions are difficult. The Quran is saying, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالِ. كُتِبَ بِمَعْنَى فُرِضَ. Obligatory it is upon you to fight. But at the same time, it is something which is disliking to the nature of the human being. Then comes the response, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Perhaps you dislike something, but it is something good for you. And perhaps you like something and it is bad for you, and Allah knows and you don't know. Just like we all know at the moment, in the summer days, in Salatul Fajr, it's difficult. Every person does think in the morning, getting up early in the morning, whether your masjid prays at 3:30 or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 4:15, whatever time it may be. But person does find shirk, does find some difficulty in waking up. But that disliking isn't one of hatred. And if a person begins to question it, or begins to complain about it in an ill manner, that becomes something which is dangerous. And remember, complaining or to make comments about the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a nau'un min al-kufr, is a form of disbelief. For example, if a person, Allah forbid, commits zina inside their life, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ حَرَامٌ. Person knows that something which is haram, knows it's a ma'asiyah, knows it's a dhamm, knows it's a sin, but they feel guilty, remorseful of this action what they've done inside their life. قَدْ يَتُوبُ, the person could repent and come back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the person could have some form of addiction, like we find other desires and temptations. فَأَمْرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, his affair belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the person is not saying anything about about this sin. He's admitting this sin is haram, it's destroying them. On the other side, you find a person, many مَا زَنَى فِي حَيَاتِهِ أَبَدًا, person never committed zina inside their life, ever. But this person says, what's wrong with people committing zina? This person is kharij anil millah. This person has left the fold of Islam. See the difference? This person never committed zina inside their life. He's quite saying, what's wrong with people committing it? People should be hur, al-hurriya. There should be freedom of expression, freedom of life. Let people do whatever they want to do. If they want to entertain themselves in this manner, they want to enjoy their life, let them do it. Why should we be worried about it? But this person never does it in their life. This person becomes a disbeliever. As for the person who commits it inside their life, but feels remorseful, feels regretful, feels sinful, and repents, whatever it may be, that person is under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be forgiven. As for that person, externally, that person is classified as a disbeliever, left the fold of Islam, of questioning the authenticity of the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to seek that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, and we need to seek that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, bima'na, to be able to stay away from it. Thus we find that the Arab poet, he mentioned, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِشَّرَّ وَلَكِنْ لِتَلَافِيهِ وَلَكِنْ لِتَلَافِيهِ. عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ, I began to study or learn about evil, not for the intent of doing that evil, but to be able to stay away from it. Whoever doesn't know the distinction between good and evil, جَدِيرْ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ, will eventually one day fall into the evil. So a person needs to study and know that which is impermissible, that which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able, to stay away from it. Thus we find certain hadith, and some ulama of hadith have classified them as weak, etc. But the meaning is there. Whoever loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hates for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever takes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ إِسْتَقْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ, that person has completed the iman. So نَوْعُ مِنَ iman, a type of iman, is a person loves and hates for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person only gives and takes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find inside the Qur'an, when you're trying to extract those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes and we should be wary about and to stay away from, and those actions or those commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes or wants us to carry out inside our life. For example, the Qur'an mentions as Surah Al-Hujurat that we find the 49th chapter of the Qur'an, and if you go and study the 49th chapter of the Qur'an, these 18 ayat, you find many fawaid. You find many benefits in studying, and if we as a Muslim ummah begin to implement these 18 ayat of this Medinan surah that we find, we'll be a successful ummah. Because many people always pose the question, how can we once again become the ideal Islamic society? You only need these 18 ayat from the Qur'an. From Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of the Qur'an, go and study them, read the various tafaseer that ulama have written about this surah, and you'll find many strange things, many extractions and fawaid and benefits have been placed inside this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disliked for you the actions of disbelief, وَالْفُسُوقَ, rebelliousness, وَالْعِصْيَانَ, any form of your disobedience. وَقَرَّهَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes these actions to be carried out. So the first thing that we find here is al-kufr, and it is disbelief. And remember, we began with some people are finding an imbalance. You know, here we're not talking about the external or tertiary or things which are totally outside that, you know, person can paint their window, their door, whatever color they want. Here people are getting confused about between what is any difference between Iman and Kufr. That's how dangerous it's becoming. And so obviously the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, if the word is appropriate to use, does not tolerate, does not accept, is Al-Kufr. So the Quran mentions about such individuals, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Indeed for you is a good example of character and behavior in emulating and copying Ibrahim alayhi salam and those who are with him. And this ayah is similar when it describes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well inside Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed for you to emulate and to copy the Prophet Muhammad is a fine example for whoever believes in Allah on the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So this is a similar ayah, but this time he's talking about Abu al-Anbiya, he's talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that for you to look at his character and his behavior is a fine example. What was the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam? إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, we disassociate ourselves, meaning myself and my people, from that which you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the symbol of a Muslim, to disassociate themselves from kufr, from disbelief. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Indeed, animosity and hatred has appeared between us and you. Until, what is the common ground? حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Until you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all alone. So here we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like kufr, does not like disbelief. Ibrahim alayhi salam professing that to his people, that indeed is a great big separation between us and you. Until you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are free from that which you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise you find inside the Qur'an, لَا تَجِدُوا قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. You will never find a people who believe in Allah and the last day. Meaning what is? You'll never find what is the action of these people, or what will they disassociate themselves, is a symbol of these individuals. يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ. You'll never find those people who believe in Allah and the last day who show love and affection to those individuals, مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, those individuals who have rebelled or fought against any Allah and His Messenger. وَلَوْ كَانُوا, even if they happen to be آبَاءَهُمْ, happen to be their fathers, أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, or their sons, أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ, or their brethren, أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ, or their family members. So it's not possible for a Muslim to have allegiance towards those individuals who are at war, who speak ill of Allah and His Messenger, even if they happen to be these individuals. Even if they happen to be their parents, their children, their brethren, their brothers, their sisters, or their family clan. That's how the Quran describes the believers. It's not befitting for the believers. If you go and look at the surah, the 58th surah of the chapter of the Quran, verse number 22, go and read tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Inside the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he mentions that these ayat, this extraction that he makes, that the believers will not show any affiliation towards these individuals, وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ, where there happens to be any their fathers. He says these ayat are talking about what took place on the Battle of Badr, how the Muslims show disassociation towards the non-Muslims. So he mentions that Abu Ubaidah killed his own father, وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ, even if they happen to be their fathers. So Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah, he killed his own father in the Battle of Badr. Likewise you find, أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, they won't show any love and affection towards whom? Towards their own sons. Abu Bakr almost killed whom? His own son, Abdul Rahman. If you go and read the seerah of the Battle of Badr, you find that Abdul Rahman, his son, he mentions that, oh my father, I saw you many occasions at the battle, but because of my love towards you, my fatherly love, I refrain from trying to attack you. So did Abu Bakr thank him? Did he praise him? He's a disbeliever at that moment. He said, if I'd seen you even once, I would not hesitate to do what? To take your life. Likewise, you find أو إخوانهم Musab ibn Umayr, he killed his own brother Ubayd. أو عشيرتهم Umar killed a relative in the Battle of Badr. Likewise, find Hamza and Ali killed Utba, Shayba, and Walid ibn Utba. Their own relatives, they killed them. So Ibn Kathir is trying to highlight that the believers are those individuals who have a clear divide. Whether they happen to be their fathers, their children, their family members, their brethren, there's a clear distinction. That those individuals who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieve in the Messenger, speak ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blaspheme against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blaspheme against the Prophet Muhammad, there is no association. That's the whole theme, al-wala wal-bara. Where you show your allegiance and where you disassociate yourself. Because some of us Muslims, you know, we sometimes think for the common goal or the common good, you know, whether it may be at times engaging ourselves with a secularist. You know, many, they have their own agenda. What is a secularist agenda? Secularism is what? Is the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read works on secularism and Marxism and all these other isms that you find, what is their belief based upon? A large portion of them, they believe the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reject God, they reject the Creator. For them, there's no concept of the Creator being involved in society. That's why a secular society means that you reject the Creator, you reject religion. Religion plays no role in your private life or in the public life. It only becomes a private affair. So you can practice whatever you want in a private domain. As for to bring it out in public, then this is something which is not tolerated or accepted. And don't be surprised, there are Muslims who are going towards exactly the same concept. They are beginning to believe and infuse inside society that Islam is just a private affair. It's not to be brought out inside society. So you cannot impose whether a person wears hijab or doesn't wear hijab, or whether they pray or they don't pray, whether they stick to halal or stick to haram. And you can all see what's happening in large portions inside the Muslim world at the moment, isn't it? Fawda, fasad, fasadun arid, immense corruption upon the land in terms of akhlaq, of character, of behavior, of conduct, you find all through the Muslim environment. Why? Because people are turning away and thinking that the falling of the secularism and these type of isms will give us any success and peace and tranquility upon this earth. Likewise, for another ayah inside the Quran, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ. Say indeed that if your fathers, your children, your brethren, your spouses, your family members, and the wealth that you've gathered, and وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and the wealth that you feared, you may lose that wealth, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and the dwellings that you have, you are content and happy with them. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. If you feel that these things are more beloved to you, these eight categories, inside Surah Al-Tawbah that we find, also known as Surah Al-Qital, if you find that these eight categories, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, become more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait till the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Indeed, Allah does not guide the rebellious in the individuals. So a Muslim has to know what their priorities are. That are never, these are all halal things as a side point. If you study these points, no one's saying these points are haram. This is talking about halal things. That if these halal things become a distraction, then think about the haram things. Or think about that which is totally forbidden, that people are showing allegiance towards those things which are clearly in haram. هُمُ الْعَدُوُّ فَحْذَرْهُمْ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. So second element that we find when to focus upon, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, is fusuq, is rebelliousness. يعني النوم من الفسق is النفاق, is hypocrisy. So after kufr that we find, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like kufr, disbelief. The second thing that we find is fusuq, rebelliousness or hypocrisy, which the Quran talks about in quite some detail about the various types or the forms of hypocrisy that we find. So the Quran is mentioned, humul yani adu. These individuals, munafiqun, yani they are the enemies. Fahdharuhum, yani stay away from them. Qatalahumullah, may Allah yani fight against them or destroy them. Anna yu'faqun, because of the evil that they invent, or they're denying or they're deviating away from the path. Any such words are harsh words inside the Quran. Qatalahumullah, and may Allah destroy them, fight any against them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war upon an individual, there's no success. You know, sometimes we are worried about the different wars that are being placed upon the Muslim Ummah. Yes, they're true, there's many wars. But you know, some Muslims at the moment, they are at war directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. That war, we don't really reflect upon. That's the war of akhdhu riba, aklu riba. The taking, the devouring, the eating of usury, of riba. If you study the Qur'an, the kaba'ir, the major sins which are placed on the Qur'an, the sunnah that we find that Imam al-Dhahabi in his book Al-Kaba'ir collects some 90 odd any major sins. And the ulama have discussed how do you recognize something is a major sin. Either you find some form of aqubah, some form of punishment upon the dunya, of ta'adhir, of torture, punishment, or adab inside the akhirah, punishment, chastisement, entering to jahannam. Or in a hadith it talks about the Prophet Muhammad saw this person punished in this manner, etc. These are all symbols of it being classified as min al-kaba'ir. We mentioned yani min al-kaba'ir, this is amongst the major sins, uquq al-walidain, uquq al-ummahat, to break your ties with your parents, to with your mothers, min al-kaba'ir. And you find al-ghiba, min al-kaba'ir, which many of us we find trivial, backbiting. Min al-kaba'ir is amongst any the major sins, because the Qur'an mentions it once again, as Surah Al-Hujurat, that the al-ghiba, backbiting, and is like eating the dead flesh of your brother. فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Indeed, that's something you find despicable, disliking. So stay any away from that. So these are the major sins you need to find that a person needs to, you need to stay away from when the Qur'an declares. These are major sins. The key element I tried to mention, likewise the Prophet Muhammad on certain occasions, he used such words, Qatalahumullah, that may Allah fight or destroy any of those individuals. So riba, as we find, is one of those severe sins, or the only sin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war upon that individual, and thus we find that possibly the Muslim Ummah at the moment is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the taking of this riba, not trying to take themselves away from the taking of usury, of interest, etc. In the hadith also that we find, whereby some people, whereby a companion suffered a gash, if I'm not mistaken, inside his head, and then he became sexually impure. So he asked some of the companions, what should I do? What's the ruling? What's the hukum? What should I do? So they said that, you have to perform the ghusl, and you have to offer your prayers. So obviously the companions made their own ijtihad, what they have to do. And they gave him this fatwa. So this person, he bathed, and obviously the wound being an open wound, water entered, and then this person, he died. And so here we find harsh words used, Qatalahumullah, may Allah destroy them. Why didn't they ask? And that's what the Quran mentions, Fas'alu ahla dhikri, in kuntum la ta'lamun bil bayyinati wa zubur. Fas'alu ahla dhikr, ask the people of dhikr, of knowledge, if you don't know something. And that's what we find nisful ilm, half of knowledge is you don't know. You don't know something. فَلَا حَرَجْ. There's no harm upon that. So a person should be wary of giving any religious verdicts or rulings about affairs that they know they're not mutqin. They're not aware about them or fully aware regarding them. As for many of us, we become hasty to to give rulings or give our opinions. And many times we find the opinion could be totally the opposite, or the ruling could be the opposite. So Muslims should stay within their parameters, their limits. They don't know something, there's no harm in forwarding it to someone else, wallahu yani a'lam. Anyhow, the whole point we mentioned in the surah about these individuals, that they are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing al-munafiqoon. They are enemies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a side point, once again, you study the surah, these ayat are mentioned where? Inside the 63rd chapter of the Quran, entitled al-munafiqoon. Okay, the whole surah is called al-munafiqoon. And you find, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So the munafiqun, they try to find what? Izzah, honor, dignity, glory, prestige, some form of respect. But they fail to understand that the only way you're going to gain honor, dignity and respect is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from the messenger, and then from the believers. But if you're trying to serve your interests against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the messenger, against the believers, then you are only destroying your own self. So even if you go to the beginning of the Quran, it begins by talking about al-munafiqun. First 3-4 ayat talk about the believers, then it talks about the disbelievers, and the remaining 11-12 ayat, as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah wrote a whole risala, Sifatul Munafiqeen, talking about the characteristics of the munafiqun, whereby the Quran begins. And many of us, we don't ponder over the Quran in this great detail, to begin to think about, why is the Qur'an talking about such affairs? Why is it just spending ayat talking about again and again about these individuals? ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. So ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر. You know, just like today, والعلم عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. Many people say we believe in Allah, we believe in the last day. So the iman isn't just mere statements. We believe in Allah, we believe in the last day. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Quran mentions these individuals, they don't really believe. They're not believers. These believers, or these so-called believers, they think they're believers. They are trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who believe. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They're only deceiving their own selves and they cannot even perceive it. So that's the path of the munafiqoon, who are being treacherous towards al-Islam, who are plotting and planning against Islam or trying to harm al-Islam, but obviously that will not be something which is possible. Likewise, you find if you study Surah An-Nisa, many ayat in the fourth chapter of the Quran, talking about al-munafiqun once again. بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So just like you find bushra, glad tidings is normally for what? For people of paradise. They're giving glad tidings of this, of that. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them there will be these glad tidings inside the dunya, likewise inside the akhirah. Likewise in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah as well, talking about the bushra given to the believers once again. So now look at the opposite, how it's mentioned. بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. You know, they want greetings, don't they? They want good things in the dunya. They want respect of this dunya. So now the Qur'an is telling them, بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Give them the glad tidings, the greetings for these individuals. بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. For them there will be an evil or severe chastisement be given to these individuals. For what are the sifat? What are these general characteristics of these individuals? Something for us as basic Muslims to ponder and to reflect and to see around us. The Quran mentions الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. First sifa, characteristic of these individuals, ومنافقون الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. منافقون are those individuals who take the kuffar, the disbelievers, as the أولياء, in preference, give them preference over the believers. And here we're not talking about people shouldn't quickly say, oh, just having a non-Muslim as a friend, that means that you fall into this ayah. And we find that here, friendship here, is talking about umur ad-diniyah, talking about Islamic religious affairs. There's no harm in having a non-Muslim as your friend. There's no harm in that. Here's you giving them preference in your religious affairs, your religious matters, those things that concern the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Are they trying to gain some form of izzah, some form of respect, of dignity from these individuals? فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All glory, honor, dignity belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the characteristics of these individuals. Then the ayat they continue, or the characteristics they continue, amongst the other characteristics of the munafiqun is إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. As we mentioned, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, they are those individuals. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Sorry, inside Surah An-Nisa. That they are those who people are full of deception. They are trying to deceive and trick and belittle the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another one of their traits. Then we find also their traits, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. In another place inside the Qur'an, the munafiqun, they stand inside prayer. They stand in a state of what? Laziness. So we find to be lazy inside one's prayers is sifatul munafiqeen, is a characteristics of the munafiqun. Person who finds it doesn't come for salatul fajr, doesn't come for salatul isha, comes with their feet dragging, or as we find many young brothers talking about great champion causes, this, that and the other, but pray isha at home, quickly jump into bed, come out, jump out of bed fajr time in your pajamas, peck yourself on the ground and go back to bed. It's too difficult to walk two blocks down the road to come to the masjid, Sheikh, it's cold. But you're willing to conquer the whole world, aren't you? As Egyptians say, mush ma'qul, doesn't make sense. You're trying to conquer the world, you can't conquer two blocks. Doesn't make sense. This is sifatul munafiqeen. Characteristics of the munafiqoon, that they find it difficult of coming for Salatul Fajr, or coming for Salatul Isha, or not wanting to come to the masjid, not to pray inside the masjid. You find such harsh ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad that I would want to appoint someone to lead the prayer, and I want to go to the homes of those people, those men who don't come to the masjid. If it wasn't for the women and the children, I would have done what? I would have torched their homes, burnt their homes. But you know, once again, you need for us, and here, the sunnah here now, it becomes muddled up. Oh, the sunnah is jama'ah. Jama'ah means that if I pray in a group at home, that's it. So what's the point of establishing masajid then? What's the point of establishing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it means, the sunnah here means, you can pray anywhere in congregation. Yes, it's true. If there's no masjid, you happen to be outside, then the less thing that you can do, the least thing you can do is pray in congregation. But if you're living close to the masjid, and you don't want to come to the masjid, you don't want to pray inside the masjid, unless you have a udhur shar'i, a genuine excuse that the imam may be an innovator, one يَدْعُ إِلَى بِدْعَتِهِ صَاحِبُ الْبِدْعَةِ calls towards innovation, encourages people innovation, fasad in his aqa'id, corrupt any aqa'id that we find, which is quite crystal clear what the person's any belief is, then that's something, a different affair. But other than that, the person, you need الرجال, the men should, you need exert the efforts to come and pray in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, these could be amongst the traits of the munafiqun. Likewise, you find, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Once again, the munafiqun are those individuals who take the disbelievers as their friends, their allies. And you're always wanting to be any overly extra nice towards them. You know, you can see some of the blogs and some of the articles, you read them from Muslims and you think, you know, what type of behavior is this? Now how can a Muslim write such words, any about their own Muslims? Many, as we know, that Muslims should give what? Another Muslim, how many excuses? 70 excuses. But today we find that in some of the harshest affairs that we find are Muslims upon their own Muslims. Muhammadur Rasulullah walladina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala kuffari ruhama'u baynahum. The Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are harsh towards the disbelievers when the time is right. Doesn't mean all the time, there's certain moments. Ruhama'u baynahum, they're merciful, compassionate towards one another. This is sifatul munafiq of mu'mineen. The sifat of the believers is to be merciful towards one another. Sifatul munafiqeen is to create disruption amongst the Muslims, rancor, ill feeling, amongst the Muslims. Likewise, you find, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. Actually, what these munafiqun are doing is they are sealing their own coffin. That's what they're doing. They don't seem to understand. They are actually exposing their own selves. At least, you know, other elements of nifaq, because we all have elements of nifaq. Person, as we mentioned, could not come to the masjid, or whatever it may be. Person could conceal that, isn't it? But person comes out in the open and begins to make statements of hypocrisy or speaking ill of Muslims, that person is actually sealing their own coffin. They're actually coming out and declaring, you know what? I'm a munafiq. That's what they're doing. They're actually bringing themselves out and saying, hey, I am a munafiq. They may not say it physically with their words, but what their approach is clear. That excuse for them is taken possibly away from such individuals. And what is the end result? As in Surah An-Nisa that we find, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكَ لِأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqun will be in the lowest depths of the hellfire. So here you find they'll be below even the kuffar. Because the kuffar, the disbelievers, we mentioned, they enjoy, they live their life, do whatever they want to do. Khalas, ila nar. Off you go towards Jahannam. So some of them may want to harm Muslims, some of them don't care less, it's get on with their life. But as for munafiqun, they become lower than them in the depths of the hellfire. Because they are externally displaying themselves as Muslims or showing some Muslim heritage, but from within, they are trying to do what? Destroy Islam and destroy any of the Muslims. So their affair, as some of the ulama mentioned, is far more dangerous than the disbelievers, because they are working from within to destroy any of the Muslims. Likewise, one throughout prime surahs inside the Quran, inside Surah Tawbah, that we find many ayat inside there talking about any of the munafiqun, till eventually you find inside Surah Tawbah, the 9th chapter of the Quran, verse number 73, يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المصير. Till eventually now it says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يعني جاهد الكفار, fight against and struggle against the disbelievers and also the munafiqun and also the hypocrites. Show them واغلظ عليهم, some يعني غلظة, harshness يعني towards these individuals, ومأواهم جهنم, indeed their abode will be none other than Jahannam, or bits al masir, and what an evil any abode or refuge place that will be for those individuals. So that is the first two categories that we mentioned. Al kufr is disbelief. Secondly, we find is what? Is any al nifaq or al fusuq, rebelliousness that we find. The third thing that we find is al isyan. Baqarraha ilaykum al kufra wal fusuqa wal isyan. What is al isyan? Is any al dhunub. Is ma'asiyah. Is disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like disobedience. And that's what we find that the Muslim, the one who's trying to be Muslim, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه وإن لم يستطع فبقلبي وذلك أضعف الإيمان. Any the believer is the one who when he sees an evil tries to change it with their hand. If not with their hand, they speak against it. Can't speak against it, and they despise it inside their heart, and that is the most weakest element of faith, the lowest level of yani of iman. And we see what isyan, yani disobedience, dhunub, ma'asi, every single day. It doesn't trouble us. Unfortunately, some of us it doesn't trouble us. If somebody is disobeying Allah's plan, that we could be standing there, even if, let's say any something trivial, even though it's not something trivial. Somebody standing there, another brother standing next to you, and he yashrab al-dukhan, smoking cigarette. And some of us don't think nothing of it. Someone's doing something as haram, we don't think nothing of it. This is not tolerable for a Muslim. If you don't have the capacity, the ability, or the iman to say something, person should just walk away, khalas. Yakfi hada, at least begin with this day, just walk away from that person. That they know this person just walks away when we start to do these actions or whatever yani it may be. So that's the beginning stage. Because remember, at the end of the day, don't think about that person's not going to like me anymore, or I'm not going to fit into society with this person. Remember, go back to what we're trying to highlight here. Disobedience is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Okay, that's what we're trying to highlight. We don't have a personal issue with this person, even if it happens to be Muslim or whatever it may be. The issue here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any disobedience. So the person tries to keep himself away from a disobedient any environment. Then we find the fourth thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like is al-bid'ah, is innovations. And that's why sometimes people think that why at times as certain individuals harsh against people of innovations or against innovations is why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like innovations. Because innovations are that which are trying to do what? Trying to dismantle or destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran mentions al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-dina. This day I've completed my favors upon you and chosen for you Islam as your way of life. So thus we find that bid'ah is something which destroys that which is sunnah. That which is bid'ah becomes prominent inside society, makes it look to people this is the sunnah. And when a person does a sunnah, it makes a sunnah look like it is something which is a bid'ah. Sahibu sunnah, person of sunnah becomes sahibul bid'ah. Wa sahibul bid'ah becomes what? Sahibul sunnah. Okay, that's what's taking place. When we mentioned in the beginning, everything has become the imbalance. So that's why we are working hard, all of us Muslims inshallah, to uproot innovations, to uproot sins, to uproot disobedience, to speak out against kufr, against disbelief, against nifaq, against innovations, against sins. Because this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He does not any like. And thus we find وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy yani with yani disbelief. And obviously now discussion begins to take place, then why does kufr exist? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can ask why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed certain things. حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ, that means wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that certain things are placed upon the earth or allowed to come upon the earth. There's a wisdom behind that. And that's what some of the ulama mentioned, that if it wasn't for the opposite elements, then we won't be able to really appreciate any iman. If there was no kufr, we would not really appreciate what iman is. If there was no bid'ah, we would not really appreciate what sunnah is, and likewise, etc., etc. There may be some element, any wallahu alam, of truth, any towards any this stance or this interpretation. But if we go back and we go back to just really complete the puzzle or to complete the ayat, we find showing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves by placing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place that inside their hearts. The same ayat inside Surah Al-Hujurat, if we take a step back, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. So we take it the opposite way, that's what we've done. We mentioned those things that firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, and then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like? Which is the beginning. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, loves, is Iman. So that's the first thing that the Muslim is trying to search, is what is Al-Iman? Once again, the whole journey when people are talking about Aqa'id, talking about belief, talking about Tawheed, why? Is to develop and to nurture the love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Iman. As we find halawatul Iman, ta'amul Iman, sweetness of Iman, dhawqul Iman, what is the flavor of Iman, in the sweetness of Iman, halawatul Iman, it's all there. You find different ahadith talking about the person finds these elements inside their heart, that person has found in the sweetness of Iman inside their life. The strange factor is that the rest of the surah, the surah Al-Hujurat, as we mentioned, goes into the love of the believers even with their shortcomings. If we go back to surah Al-Hujurat, it begins to talk about the believers even with their shortcomings. For example, inside surah Al-Hujurat, it mentioned, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If two groups of the believers, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Look, if we study this in great detail, many of us average Muslims, if we begin to slightly wake up, if we could just read the Qur'an and ponder over the Qur'an and understand the language of the Qur'an. The Qur'an mentions, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If two groups amongst the believers fight one another. In normal language, in the normal world for many of us, one group is a believer and the other group is what? It's disbelievers. The Quran is here saying that if two groups from amongst the believers, they fight amongst themselves. So the Quran is saying that both of them are what? Are believers. There may be some misunderstanding or something that happened between the two, but the Quran is giving a generic terminology that the believers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Muslims towards one another, يَنِي are brethren. That's what we're trying to highlight, our wala wal-bara. Our association is towards whom? Is towards the Muslims. Thus we find that many ulama have laid out this principle, that the worst Muslim is better than the best kafir. Okay, some of us have got this, as we, the whole theme is about muddling our minds up at the moment. The worst Muslim is better than the best kafir. But some of us Muslims can't seem to understand. Some of us Muslims are even studying aqa'id or reading aqidah, reading it day and night, we still can't seem to conclude. Some of us Muslims, we think that the Muslim is the enemy. That's what some of us Muslims are concluding. Yes, there may be some small segments of truth inside that, as we mentioned, people of innovation, etc. But some of us are going way beyond the limits and are painting that every single Muslim is an enemy towards any another Muslim, which is dangerous. Thus you find a Muslim loves the righteous individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Iman, so you love the people who carry Iman, who are the mu'minun, who are the believers. Obviously we cannot conclude any explicitly, but there's certain symbols that we all know, that we know the signs of piety, etc., that we find, which are there. So thus we find the Arab poet, he mentioned lines of poetry, وَحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. I love the righteous people, but I'm not from amongst them. لَعَلُّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي الصَّلَاحِ. But perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may rectify me by me just by looking at them or trying to be with them. And that's where you find that any birds of a feather flock together. And if you try to be with righteous people, if you don't really know what Iman is, eventually you begin to learn certain etiquettes or learn Iman, and you aspire to be any people of Iman, and one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify you. That's what this poet is writing. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. I love the pious people but not from amongst them. But at least if I keep on trying, I may eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up the doors for me to become a rectified any individual. That's we find on that day, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. On that day, everybody will be enemy towards one another. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except for whom? The pious individuals. So on the Day of Judgment, the only people that will be close to one another are the muttaqoon, will be the pious and the individuals who try to find iman inside his dunya and then giving it again inside in the akhirah. So love based upon devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Quran mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Indeed, those individuals who believe and do righteous actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ar-Rahman will place وُدَّا. وُدَّا بِمَعْنَى يَنِي حُب. Will place love between them. That's the benefits of iman and righteous actions and trying to follow the path of iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place love. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those individuals, those people who are trying to follow the path of iman. And thus we find they fall under the shade of Ar-Rahman. Numerous ahadith that we find, where are those who had mutual love? For my glory's sake, today I will shade them in my shade on the day where there is no shade, in the hadith of Sahih of Imam Muslim. Another hadith Imam Tirmidhi, that we find that those who are in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are envied by even the prophets and the martyrs. Likewise, you find ورجلان تحاب في الله اجتمع عليه وافترق عليه. Two individuals, two men or two Muslims, they come together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they separate from for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find the path of love. بمعنى the path of iman is what brings the person you need together. Shall I not tell you what will create love, a mutual good feeling amongst yourselves? أفشو السلام. Give salam amongst yourselves. Don't we find it unfortunately that I don't give salam to so-and-so because, you know, maybe he prays in a different masjid. I don't give salam to so-and-so because maybe he doesn't come to my halaqah. I don't give salam to so-and-so because he's not my sheikh or whatever it may be. Don't we see these symbols even unfortunately on a daily basis amongst us average Muslims? The Prophet Muhammad is telling us, أَفْشُ السَّلَامُ بَيْنَكُمْ. A way of loving one another is to give salam to one another, to greet one another in a good manner. Likewise, you find visiting one another, being concerned about one another, aiding and assisting one another. One another, who does that refer to? To Muslims. Yes, there may be a lot of political clout out there in the world, whatever it may be, but we're not blind. Are we all blind about the land of the blessed land of Sham at the moment, Syria at the moment, Afghanistan, Iraq, Kashmir, Shishan, Somalia? The list is endless, isn't it? Have you all become blind to it now and just say, oh well, you know, they deserve what happened to them, or they're politically corrupt, or whatever it may be, whatever the situation may be. But how are we going to create love now? How are we going to create affection? How are we going to create mutual understanding? How are we going to create mutual advice? How are we going to have the opportunity to rectify and reconcile those individuals? It's obviously going to be by some impact that we have. That when we show love and affection towards them, then what will happen? They will begin to listen and to engage with us. You know, sometimes if you go and study the world at the moment, it's quite strange. You find amongst the first and foremost individuals who get to some of those Muslim locations will be whom? An-Nasara, Christian missionaries will get there. You know what they do? They come and they give gifts. You know what they say? Jesus gave you this. Okay? And if you go to a lot of the African countries today, because, you know, we have a very good, relaxed life that we find. You know, some of these non-Muslims, they sacrifice a lot of their life. They go and live in shanty towns. They live in tin homes. That's their mission. That's their objective. 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, living there with whom? With the people. To do what? To instill the love of what? Of kufr. Okay? And then we've talked about we've got iman. What does our iman drive us to do? Our iman drives us to do what? That makes sure I get on that first flight, I'm back out of that country. That's what our iman drives us to do. Because, you know, I'm missing out on some of my luxuries. I didn't come here to pick up bags. I came here to be the mudir. I came here to be the director. The head of affairs. I didn't come here to do this. And that's where some of us have got it wrong. If we really had iman, then it doesn't make no difference for a Muslim. Whether you're at the front, you're in the middle, you're in the back. Whether you're sitting on the chair, you're sitting on the floor, you're sitting on the roof, you're sitting in the garden, you're sitting on the park bench. Don't make no difference. Wallahi, it makes no difference for a Muslim. If you're a real Muslim, it makes no difference what you're doing. You're cleaning the streets. It makes no difference. It doesn't make no difference for Muslims. That's what we need to understand with ourselves. We're going to give da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes no difference where you are. You continuously giving da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever you meet, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be. Likewise, we find that removing the obstacles is part of iman. Don't we find so many ahadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be aiding and helping the individual, as long as the individual is doing what? Aiding and assisting whom? His brother. Whoever takes away affliction, hardship from his brother in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away the hardship and afflictions where? In this dunya? Where? Inside? The akhirah. Don't we want that in our lives? Is that not a part of iman, of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes us to do? So we find that this love is then placed, as mentioned earlier, just like we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the love that's placed between the husband and the wife, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed immense love and devotion between the two spouses. So once again, there will be love and devotion between this Muslim ummah. The Qur'an mentions, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Yani, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, hold fast the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not differ amongst another. Remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ أَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. Yani, remember, you were enemies towards one another, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, rescued you. You were on the brinks of hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you and made you brethren. If you read this ayah once again, it's Surah Ali Imran, read the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, you find this ayah is talking about Al-Ansar, the tribe, yani, or the people of Medina, were made up of Al-Aus wal-Khazraj. These are two tribes in Medina which now become Al-Ansar, who spent many years doing what? Fighting amongst one another. You know, divide and rule isn't something new. Okay, that's what Al-Yahud were doing there in Medina. Okay, they made them fight amongst themselves. So then they can do what? They could be in power. They could control Medina. Okay? So just like today, Muslims are fighting amongst one another. Who's controlling everything? Who's there on the side, sitting there and controlling any our affairs? Likewise, you find any of the concept, I'm sure many of you heard that, you need the famous story about the three bulls, etc., that we find. So the balance is what we're trying to find. And you love the one whom you love in moderation. Perhaps, you need one day he will be one whom you hate, and hate the one whom you hate in moderation. Perhaps one day he will be the one whom you love. In the Sunan Imam Tirmidhi that we find in this narration. So everything is in moderation in a Muslim's life. There's not too much any likening, and there's not too much dislikening, any, if it's especially to do with Muslims. So when it comes specifically to Muslims, that we may dislike certain of their actions, that does not mean that we develop hatred towards the individual. The person could be dalun, the person could be a stray, jahil, ignorant individual. The person is still a Muslim, unless that person has clear-cut lofyani, the fold yani ofyani of Islam. So we need to go back and review our love and our hate, our association and disassociation, al-wala wal-bara, those things that we should be coming towards, unified upon. There should be unity yani upon that, encouraging one another to do that. And it all boils down to the element of faith. That we're trying to encourage individuals to come according to the right creed, the right faith, the right concept, the right understanding, the right interpretation, and to teach that to individuals, to the people around us. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'idatil hasana wa jadilhum billati hi ahsan. And you call all to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with fair preaching, good conduct, wisdom, good etiquette, good behavior, that you may be able to attract these individuals to come towards the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find the Quran mentions quite clearly, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Muslim is one, is a just individual. The Quran here clearly inside these ayat it mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not prevent you to show goodness to those individuals who never fought against you. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ, never expelled you from your homes. أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ, to show love and affection. وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, to be just and to be fair towards them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves any the just and the fair individuals. Imagine these ayat are talking about whom? The disbelievers. That there's no harm in being fair and just and kind towards them. But once again, we don't apply these ayat any upon when it comes to the Muslims. And we don't want to be just and fair towards the Muslims. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to go back and to study and to understand those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, try to implement them inside our life, and to study those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes or tells us to stay away from, is not happy with, and to try to stay away from those affairs. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu feekum.